professional world. If you're a young person, and if you want to progress in your profession rapidly and decisively, stop everything and focus now 100% on English. Get the problem 100% out of the way now. Don't postpone it.
Esta es La Hora Extra con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome to the Extra Hour. Okay, our mutual extra opportunity for improving our English. Although I don't need to improve my English. It's enough to get by. I know enough English to get by. I know enough French to get by, barely. Barely. I can speak much better than I can understand. And I know enough Spanish to get by, so I can get by in three languages. I can get by in Italy if I speak slowly and mix French, Spanish, and English. I can usually get by in Italy. So, we have questions. Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Have you ever been in prison? You asked me that question yesterday. Well, can't I ask you again? All right. What's the question again? Have you ever been in prison? No, I haven't. I've never been in prison. Have you ever been close to being in prison? No, I've never been close to being in prison. Have you ever been in a prison? No, I haven't. I've never been in a prison. Do you know anybody who has been in prison? Let's see. Personally? I can't think of anybody right now. No, as far as I can remember, I don't know anybody who has spent time in prison. Although, I receive letters from time to time from people who are in prison. I've received letters from prisoners, from a prisoner in Asturias. I've received a couple of letters, or three, from an Irish man who is in prison in Tenerife. But, Richard, did you answer their letters? Yes, I did. Although I received a letter from a prisoner about 5 or 6 months ago, with the intention of answering him, and then I lost the letter. And I looked for it because it was a long, maybe 3 or 4 page letter. Because prisoners have time. And so, and I was a bit irritated that I couldn't find that letter. With the envelope and with the return address. The return address, Remite. The return address. That was about 5 months ago. So, Mr. Prisoner, if you are listening to me right now and you recognize yourself as the person who sent me a letter about 5 months ago, I think 4 or 5 months ago, and I'm sorry I couldn't write back, but I looked all over my desk, all over my office for that letter and I couldn't find it. And the cleaning lady, La Mujer Limpieza, the cleaning lady knows not to touch anything. So I must have accidentally thrown it away. I must have accidentally. Fíjate en la estructura aquí. Debí tirarlo sin querer. I must have thrown it away without realizing it. Sin darme cuenta de ello. Without realizing it. I must have thrown it away without realizing it. Ahora, hablemos en Inglés Cristiano. I must have thrown it away without realizing it. I must have thrown, must have. Fíjate, digo, musta. Musta. Mustil. Musta. I must have thrown it, I must have. No recomiendo que digas musta. Pero sí, must have. I must have thrown it away without realizing it. So my apologies, please, if you're listening. But I've never been in prison. I've never known anybody. My father, I've told you several times, my father visited the Oklahoma State Penitentiary once. Funny, my father. He was a social animal. I mean, he could talk to people. And he was visiting McAllister, Oklahoma. McAllister. I'm going to bring out McAllister on the map. Let's see. Google Images, Google Maps. Mac is M-I-C. Creo que se escribe M-I-C. Mac, no. No, M-I-C, creo. McAllister, Oklahoma. Okay, I'm going to find out. In case you're interested, you can find it. Let's see. The name of the city is McAllister. M-C. Alester. M-C-A-L-E-S-T-E-R. McAllister, Oklahoma. Oui, there's a McAllister, Pittsburgh. McAllister, Oklahoma. All right, the city of McAllister. I have passed through McAllister at least 20 or 30 times in my life. And I went to McAllister once for a track meet, Competición de Atletismo. And I won. I won the 400 meters there. It wasn't a final. It wasn't the finals or the regionals. It was simply a meet. It was a competition. McAllister, Oklahoma. Let's see. Population of McAllister is 18,400 people. All right. Now, it's the home of the Oklahoma State Penitentiary. I think it's the biggest penitentiary, yes. Two Oklahoma Department Corrections facilities. The Oklahoma State Penitentiary and the Jackie Brannon Correctional Center are in McAllister. All right. So there are two different correctional centros correccionales, se dice, no, corrections. El Departamento de Oklahoma, Departamento de Correcciones, así se dice, en vez de penitenciaria. The Oklahoma Department of Corrections has now my father, the city of, well, the small city, the town of McAllister was in my father's territory as manager, regional manager of New York Life Insurance Company. So from time to time, my father drove down to McAllister. Yes, he drove down to McAllister. Now, McAllister is located probably about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Let me find out. Let's see. Tulsa, McAllister. Let's see. McAllister, Oklahoma. McAllister, Oklahoma. And let's go to Tulsa. So how far my father had to drive. Tulsa, Oklahoma. I think it was an hour and a half, maybe. Let's see. Yes, an hour and 33 minutes. So my father drove down in the early morning, leaving home perhaps at 8 o'clock. Started meetings at 9:30 or 10 o'clock in McAllister. And then tried to return around 4 o'clock in order to get home at 5:30 for the national news on television. But on one of his trips to McAllister, one of his meetings was canceled. And he had some time to kill. He had about 3 hours to kill. And so he decided to visit the state penitentiary. And so he drove his car to the penitentiary and entered the driveway to the security gate. La puerta de seguridad, la garita. A garito or garita? I can't remember how to say that in Spanish. And of course, there was a security guard. And my father pulled his car up to the window. And the security guard says, May I help you? I said, yes, I would like to know if it's possible to visit the penitentiary. That's not a very common request, I imagine. And the guard said, well, do you have an appointment? And my father said, no. I have business here in McAllister, and one of my commitments was canceled. And I thought it would be interesting if there are tours to tour, para hacer una gira, a tour, through the facilities. The word facilities, las instalaciones. And the security guard was probably in a position, what do I say to this man? We don't give tours. But he asked, my father said, here, this is my driver's license, porque en Estados Unidos no hay carnet de identidad, tarjeta de identidad, no hay. Usas tu carnet de conducir como identificación. This is my driver's license. I'm the manager of New York Life Insurance, based in Tulsa. And the security guard took the driver's license and he called. I suppose he called the secretary of the warden. Now, the warden is escrito warden, with doble. Warden means el alcalde, el director de la prisión. The warden of the Oklahoma State Penitentiary. And apparently the warden said, okay, fine, have him come in. Probably the warden was bored that morning. Aburrido, he was bored that morning and said, well, New York Life Insurance, the head of New York Life Insurance for Eastern Oklahoma. Well, yeah, sure. And they met and they spent 2 hours together. The man took my father around every area of the very large state penitentiary in McAllister, Oklahoma. I'm going to look up a picture. McAllister State Penitentiary. I'm going to look it up. I've never been there. Okay. I'm looking at pictures of it now. Yes. It looks like a state penitentiary to me. Yes, sir. Yes. Like in the movies. How many American movies take place in prisons? Prison movies are usually pretty good. Yeah, prison movies. And so my father spent... disturbios hace 40 años. Yeah, hay incendios. So they had problems 40 years ago. Prison riot remembered 40 years later. Prison riot. La palabra riot significa disturbios. Cuando una manifestación sale de Madrid y empieza. Yes. And so my father visited it. También ahí tienen rodeos con vacas y toros. Inside the facility of the prison. So the warden gave my father a tour. And he even took my father to the high security area in which the prisoners are dangerous. So dangerous that you can't open the door to give them food. You have to give them food through a little door. Because if you open the door, they will try to kill you. They're demented. So really it was more like a psychological area, you know, a psychiatric ward or something. He said, these people are very, very dangerous. They can never be in civilization. They can't be in public. The first day, if we release any of these prisoners, they will kill at least one person the first day. My father told me the story of this. So that's a story I was not planning to tell today, but why not? I have to consume 3 hours every day on a radio for 240 days a year. 240 days a year times 3, 24, 48, 72. I have to produce 720 hours every year. De un rollo verbal in English. And so I need to I need to grab any subject to help me get through. But no, I don't know anybody who has been in prison, and personally, I've never been in prison. Well, Richard, do you think you'll go to prison someday? I doubt it, but I could. Come on, Richard, you'll never go to prison. Well, wait a minute. I mean, every day I drive my car somewhere. I drive my car to the office, and I could accidentally hit somebody and kill, though. I could accidentally kill somebody with my car. And in that case, if it's clear that I'm guilty of negligence, I could spend some time in prison. So, yes, I could. I can't rule out. No puedes cartar. I can't rule out the possibility that I could spend some time in prison in the future. Now, I seriously doubt it, but there's always the possibility because nobody has total control of their life, especially if you drive a car. A car is a very deadly weapon if it's not driven carefully. It can kill very instantly. And so it's very, very dangerous. There's a lot of responsibility when people learn how to drive and assume the responsibility of driving a car. So I know the case of a priest, un cura, un sacerdote, who was distracted, and he wasn't looking, and he hit a person and killed the person. The person died. The priest spent about 3 years in prison. I imagine that's not easy for the court, because it's a man of the cloth. A man of the cloth is un sacerdote católico. Es una forma de decir man of the cloth. It's an interesting word, really. Well, a word is an interesting expression. A man of the cloth. Un hombre de religión, dice aquí. Pues no. Es sacerdote. It's a man of the cloth. Yes. The definition of a man of the cloth. Let's see. What definition? Let's see. A member of the clergy. Un miembro del clero. Is a man of the cloth. It's interesting about the word cloth. I don't know why we say cloth. Por la tela que ponen in the Catholic Mass. I wonder if I can find that in the dictionary. What word you say in Spanish for that? Cloth. C-L-O-T-H. Cloth. Tela tejido. Trapo bayeta. También. El clero. The cloth. Nunca lo he oído así. He oído a man of the cloth, but I've never heard the term the cloth for el clero. The cloth. So, altar cloth is el mantel. That's interesting. A dish cloth is un paño, o bayeta. A dish cloth. A face cloth, toalla facial, muy bien. Yes. Floor cloth, alfombra. I've never heard that. Y dice que es en Estados Unidos. I've never heard that. I've never heard that in my life. And a man of the cloth, sacerdote, cura, clérigo. A man of the cloth. Cloth. De ahí viene la palabra ropa, clothes. But the pronunciation changes. Cloth. Cloth se usa más como un trapo. Necesito un trapo para que limpiar la mesa. Está con polvo, no sé por qué. Tienes un trapo. Do you have a cloth? A cloth. Otherwise, I need to use my handkerchief, perhaps. Cloth. The man of the cloth. So, a man of the cloth, accidentally killed a person. And he was convicted of manslaughter. Strange expression in English, manslaughter. To convict. This is interesting. This is a verb. To convict is condenar. Ya judicialmente, yes. Definitivo con sentencia judicial. That's to convict. Now, un presidiario, we say a convict. We totally change the stress. It's exactly the same word. Convict is a person who's in prison. Another word for convict is inmate. Yeah, the people in the prison are inmates. Inmates. Convict, prisoner, criminal, inmate, felon, and things. But to convict. But the priest was convicted of manslaughter. That's a strange word, manslaughter. Homicidio imprudente. Homicidio culposo. ¿Qué significará eso? Homicidio involuntario. Homicidio imprudencial. All right, these are the ways. And this is manslaughter. And he was probably convicted of involuntary manslaughter. Homicidio involuntario. Or negligent manslaughter. Homicidio imprudente, negligencia. Negligent manslaughter. But he spent 2 or 3 years in prison. So that could happen to me. That could happen to you if you drive. So never rule out the possibility that you could end up in prison. I hope not. But as I get older, I realize that up to now I've been very fortunate as a driver. I've been involved in only one serious accident, which wasn't my fault, but nobody was hurt. My car was totaled. Totally. My car was inoperable after that. I had to buy a new car. But that when I was 17 or 18, I think I was 17. And since then, no. I've had little bumps, small accidents, usually not my fault. Wow, the last time I had an accident that was my fault and was in 1979. That's a long time ago. I haven't had a car accident since then that was my fault. And the accident in 1979 was a stupid accident. There was no traffic. I was just not paying attention. There were only two vehicles on an empty road going around Alcorcón. The ring road around Alcorcón, la circunvalación. And there was me and about 500 meters ahead of me, a small truck. Fine. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't notice that the truck had changed lanes to the lane where I was, and it stopped to turn. And when I decided to stop being distracted, I noticed he was only 10 meters in front of me, and boom, bam, I hit him. And besides, it had just started raining. It was sprinkling. Sprinkling means chispeando. And so the initial rain was mixing with the dust on the road. That's the most dangerous moment if you drive in the rain, is at the very beginning. Because the rain washes away the dust. The rain washes away. To wash is lavar. But to wash away is eliminar, limpiándolo por la caída del agua. To wash away. The rain washes away the dust after about 10, 15, 20 minutes. But at the very beginning, no. It's wet dust. So it's slick. It's slippery. That resbaladizo. And that's the worst moment, too. And that was the moment. So, two things coincided. My distraction and the beginning of a rain shower. And that was in 1979. Yes, sir. Cinco mil doscientos. That was my car. And I had to get it fixed. It was okay. I could drive it home. I could drive the car. So it wasn't a bad accident. I didn't need to call a tow truck. I could drive the car home. So, But now, as time goes by, as I get older, I think more and more about the danger of driving. And I've been lucky up to now. My luck could run out on me. Se me podría agotar o acabar la suerte. Escucha, my luck could run out on me. Run out is se agota, quedar sin, to run out. Me quedo sin gasolina. I have run out of gasoline. I have run out of luck. My luck could run out on me, and I could have an accident. So you never know. I may go to prison someday, but I doubt it. I really doubt it. Okay, I'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go away, eh? Lo que quieres es resolver el inglés y no solo dar clases año tras año, llama a Vaughan. Somos los únicos que te diremos la verdad, te marcaremos el camino.
Este verano aprende inglés desde donde quieras, con los mejores profesores del mercado. Summer Impact, un programa intensivo para ver resultados en poco tiempo, estés donde estés y con la calidad que solo Vaughan puede ofrecerte. Llama al 91-133-5831 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. El 1 de junio te esperamos. Summer Impact, este verano el método Vaughan desde tu casa.
¿Quieres tener un profesor Vaughan? ¿Quieres tener toda la intensidad de una clase Vaughan desde casa? Te lo ponemos muy fácil. Clases Vaughan a través de videoconferencia. Una de las modalidades cada vez más demandada. Curso de inglés trimestral por videoconferencia. No importa dónde te encuentres. Con las clases a través de videoconferencia, tendrás tu clase Vaughan con un ritmo de clase brutal. Nunca te vas a aburrir. Nunca vas a perder la concentración. Pruébalo, dinamismo e intensidad. Llama al 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833. Eso si estás en Madrid, porque en Barcelona puedes llamar al 93-339-8687. 93-339-8687.
A ver qué hay que grabar hoy. Curso de inglés online de Vaughan. Nuestros mejores profesores, vale. Menos de 30 céntimos al día. Oye, menos de 30 céntimos al día. ¿Esto está bien? ¿Seguro? Vale, vale. Quédate en casa. Venga, lo tengo. Aprende inglés desde casa con profesores Vaughan. Ahora, el curso de inglés online de Vaughan por solo 99 euros. Por menos de 30 céntimos al día, tendrás a nuestros mejores profesores en cualquier momento en tu casa. Richard Vaughan, Ximena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso o Richard Brown te ayudarán a poner en forma tu inglés. Para más información, entra en la web cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com e infórmate. Repito, cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com. Quédate en casa con el curso de inglés online de Vaughan. Menos de 30 céntimos al día, seguro, ¿no?
Lo que más miedo da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 91-335-831 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to the coronavirus situation, we have transferred our teachers from the classroom format to the video conference format. Right now, over 3,000 Vaughn students are receiving classes regularly, both group classes and private classes, by video conference. So far, the results are very good. So good that many teachers say it's equally effective or even more effective. If you would like to take advantage of this option, simply go to our website, grupovaugan.com. It's the first thing you'll see when you open the website. Check it out. Take advantage of this option now during the period of confinement or later when the classroom option is once again available. With the video conference option, you can save up to an hour or more in travel time. And the results are the same and sometimes even better. Try it. grupovaugan.com.
Extra con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome back to our second half hour, today's Thursday edition of The Extra Hour, the 16th of July. Are you ready to continue? Well, let's continue. More questions. Do you have any more questions for me? Oh, I always have questions for you. Yes, but most of your questions are lit a bit absurd or strange. What question do you have for me now? Well, the question is the following. Did people use sunscreen 60 years ago? Well, how am I supposed to know? Listen, could you repeat the question for our listeners? Sure. Did people use sunscreen 60 years ago? Wow, mucho ese aquí. So, can you say it again? Ask it again? Did people use sunscreen 60 years ago? Look, can you repeat the question very slowly, word by word? Word by word. Okay. Did people... Well, entonación de pregunta, right? Did people use sunscreen 60 years ago? Oh, now I understand. Sunscreen, I assume you're referring to tanning oil or tanning butter. Well, nowadays people say sunscreen. Sunscreen, pantalla solar, protección solar, se dice, ¿eh? Yes, people, well, 60 years ago, that's in the year 1960, yes, people used tanning oil. It wasn't called sunscreen. The concept of protecting yourself was not common. Back then, it was not. The doctors, this is interesting, back in 1960, it became popular in the mid to late 1950s to get a tan. Now, to get a tan, tan, como tan, tan bueno, tan difícil, tan, T-A-N, tan is un bronceado. To get a tan. And 60 years ago, in 1960, yes, people used suntan lotions, suntan oil, suntan butter, I think the British say. I'm not sure. I've heard the word butter. Tan, bronceado. Yes, tan. And, they didn't say sunscreen back then. This is interesting. The idea that the sun can cause skin cancer, melanoma, or other skin problems, I didn't start hearing this until the 1980s. Maybe before, but I didn't hear it. And then suddenly, you know, all the dermatologists, doctors, and pseudo-experts were saying you need to protect yourself. And so they created the sunscreen concept with different factors, factor 15, 25, factor 50, these factors to protect your skin. But before that, no. They didn't. And I remember my father. My father had eczema on above his, in his eyebrows and things on his skin. And the dermatologist recommended suntanning. And I remember my father taking, you know, a lot of sun on his face. Their dermatologist would never say that today. So it means that medical science is an inexact science and it's evolving. And the doctors, there are a lot of things they don't know. Like me, I'm considered an expert in teaching English, but I still don't know how to get my students to learn more quickly. So maybe I'm the best in my field, but I'm soon super, how do you say? You say un super tuerto. The experts are not expert, son tuertos. En un mundo de ciegos, con referencia, con relación a su área de especialidad. Because there's so much we don't know. I really don't know the best way to teach the present perfect. So that Spanish people understand. I don't know. I have my tricks, I have my ways, but I really don't know how to do it. So, tanning oil. So yeah, 60 years ago, yes, sun, well, I don't know if it was, I don't know if it was a protection. It was to aid people in speeding up the tanning process. It wasn't considered necessarily a type of cream or lotion to protect your skin from burning. But there was a very, very famous billboard. Famous billboards. Famosas vallas publicitarias. I don't know what the most famous billboard is, but I remember a billboard back in the 1960s and of a girl, a little girl, playing on the beach. And the her dog pulls on her the lower part of her bathing suit. She's a little girl, maybe 8 years old, 9 years old. Famous billboard, girl on beach, dog. Maybe I can find it. Yes, aquí está. All right, this is one of the most famous. The copper tone sign. The copper tone sign. Copper, como cobre en inglés, copper, doble P medio, copper, tone, todo junto. Y luego sign, señal, signa. Sign means letrero, o en este caso, valla publicitaria. The copper sign was very, very famous. This copper tone girl, and you see a dog pulling, well, first of all, she's probably 5 years old, 6 years old. And the and so she's wearing a bathing suit or a swimsuit. I have various forms of the traje de baño. The British, I think they say swimsuit or swimming trunks, como trompa de elefante o como maletero de coche en Estados Unidos, tronco de un árbol. I think they say swim trunks or swimming trunks. In the U.S., we say bathing suit or swimming suit or swimsuit. But it doesn't matter. Pick one. And she's wearing only one because she's a little girl. She doesn't need to wear a top yet. And there's a dog pulling on her, and it exposes her bottom. And it's very clear that you can see the difference in the tan. And so it shows that with copper tone, se tono de cobre, tienes el bronceado. Aquí te dice broncea, de copper. Copper, de cobre. Copper tone. And this is a classic. This is one of the most famous billboards in the history of the United States. And I remember it back in the 60s. But your question is, did people use sunscreen 60 years ago? No, they didn't use sunscreen from the point of view of protection. And it wasn't called sunscreen. They used tanning oil, tanning lotion, tanning butter, mantequilla bronceadora, or something, back in 1960 years ago. More questions. Oh, by the way, Richard, do you use sunscreen? Occasionally. I don't like sunscreen. It's too sticky. Pegajoso. And the smell, etc. But if I'm going to spend an hour on the beach, I will put sunscreen on, yes. Yeah. I don't go to the beach to lay on the beach and take in the sun. I go to the beach to go into the water. And sometimes I can spend an hour in the water. And in that case, I'll wear sunglasses. I'll wear a t-shirt to protect my shoulders and my back and my chest. And I'll wear a baseball cap in the water. And if I'm going to be a long time, if I'm going to be a short time, it does not, nothing. I won't wear a t-shirt. But because my skin is fair, I have a fair complexion. I have a light complexion. I have a fair complexion. I have a light complexion. Esas son dos formas de decir tengo la tez clara. Complexion. Escrito complexión, con X. Complexion. Es un amigo super falso, porque en inglés, complexion es la tez. Claro, en español, el complexión es la, el torso, la robustez, la complexión de estampa. Yeah. And so it's totally different. Same word. But a fair complexion, fair has many meanings. Escrito fair, fair has many meanings. Many. About 7 or 8 different meanings. And you see, incluimos fair como fare, como tarifa, que pagas fair. It has even more meanings. But one of the meanings is de color claro. Fair hair, fair complexion. Probably the most important meaning of fair is justo, de justicia. It's not fair. Antiguamente, fair significaba bello, o bella, hermoso. My Fair Lady, the famous Broadway production and movie based on Pygmalion by George Bernard Shaw. My Fair Lady is mi bella dama, mi hermosa dama, my fair lady. In the famous story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Blanca Nieves y los Siete Enanitos, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Of course, one of the main characters is the stepmother, the queen, who has she possesses magical powers, and she can transform herself into a witch, an ugly witch. But she's a beautiful queen, and she is Snow White's stepmother, madrastra. But every day the queen stands in front of her magic mirror, and the mirror speaks to her. And she says, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all? ¿Quién es la más bella del reino? O de todas? Who's the fairest one of all?" And of course, you know the story as well as I do. The mirror always says, "You are my lady, mi lady. You are the fairest one of all." But one day, he changed his mind. He said, "Mi lady, you are very, very fair. You're the fair, beautiful, but there's one woman fairer than you." "Who?" "Snow White." "Oh, her, la hijastra, her daughter-in-law. Digo daughter-in-law, her stepdaughter." Her stepdaughter. And that's how that's when the whole problem started, right? This woman, she wanted to be the fairest. And so she was willing to go to the extreme of killing her her stepdaughter, simply to remain the fairest in the land. And then, of course, you remember Juana la Loca, Joanna the Mad. Her husband was from Flanders, and he was called Philip the Fair, Felipe el Hermoso. Also, he's called Philip the Handsome, fair. So fair has a lot of meanings. Fair. Fair también es una feria. Feria de muestras. Feria industrial. A fair. The fair. And what other meanings does fair have? I mean, we can look at it. Fair means pasa. It's interesting. ¿Qué tal los resultados? Fair. That means ni fu ni fa, mediocre más bien. So fair in this case has a very relatively negative meaning. Fair. Let me look it up. I'm going to look up fair and see if I can find more meanings. F-A-I-R, fair. Fair, justo, imparcial, equitativo, yes. Fair play. Cuando se dice juego limpio. Quiero juego limpio, ¿eh? I want fair play. Fair means claro, pálido, blanco. O sea, de tez clara. A fair complexion. Fair also means una feria. Feria de muestras, etc. Fair. Fair means rubio. Bueno, vale, claro. Fair, lindo, bello. Yes, fair. Fair. Let's see where I can find hermoso, fair. Bastante. Yes. This is interesting. What are the chances that I'll win first prize? Your chances are, you have a fair chance. You have a fair chance. Si es un bastante. Tus posibilidades son bastante buenas, eh? Fair. Fairly means bastante. Fairly good. But, this is so difficult to explain. Bastante bueno. Si cambias la entonación, ¿qué tal las notas? Bastante buenos, ¿eh? Bastante buenas, ¿eh? Quite good. Quite good. Ahora, si alguien dice, las notas son muy buenas, no son muy buenas, y yo las miro y digo, hombre, son bastante buenas, ¿eh? Ojo. En este caso, digo, pretty good. Ahora, sí, digo, bueno, las notas bastante buenas, pero fairly good. I would use fairly. So these are very, very, these nuances of difference is quite interesting for a linguist. Quite difficult to explain to a person learning the language, but it's not important. Fairly good means bastante bueno, pero tiene que mejorar. Fairly good means podría ser más. Está bien, pero podría ser más. Fairly good. Fairly good. I remember my children in the primary school. My children attended a British primary school, very small school, one class for every year. And so they used, if I remember right, the grading system were three grades, tres notas, very good, fairly good, and can improve, or could improve, or need for improvement, necesidad de mejorar. Those were the three grades. Now, when I was going to school, my God, there were five grades, A, B, C, D, F, saltame la D. A, B, C, D, F. A is very good, excellent. B is good. C is average. D is unsatisfactory. And F is failure. Failure. Quizás por eso saltaron la D para ir a la F de five. Fracaso. Failure. It was very rare for a person to get an F. I never saw it. In primary school. I never saw an F in primary school of any student. I don't remember seeing a D either. The school system in the United States in my generation was easier but better than here. A lot better. It was easier, but it was fun. And learning was more fun and it was more practical. And it wasn't uphill. Si lo pones a los niños. Sí, hasta escuela primaria es cuesta arriba. ¡Qué rollo! Oh, they hate the education. They hate school. And so you don't have a good atmosphere. You don't have the right atmosphere, for the right climate for learning. Fair enough. It's a very common expression. Fair enough means, bueno, vale, pues, muy bien. Me parece bien. Fair enough. Pues he decidido jubilarme allá, hoy. Fair enough. Eso es lo que tú quieres. Tienes todo el derecho del mundo. Fair enough. No te voy a... No voy a discutirlo. We say fair enough when says that. It means I'm not going to argue with you. Question, more questions. Richard, do you like people in general? Hey, that's a good question. Do you like people in general? That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. No. In general, no. Well, I don't dislike people. I just don't pay attention. I'm too self-centered. So I don't pay attention. I remember Bennett Cerf, which nobody knows who he is, but Bennett. Bennett. B-E-N-N-I-T? No, Bennett Cerf. Yeah, doble N, doble T. Bennett, como suena, Bennett, con B. Doble N, doble T. Bennett Cerf was a very famous editor for Random House, one of the most important, probably the number one casa editorial, publishing house in the United States. Bennett Cerf. Habido Cerf, Córdoba, España, Roma, Finlandia. Cerf, if you want to look him up. And he had a famous saying. He said, I've never met a person I didn't like. Nunca he conocido a nadie que no me cayera bien. I've never met a person I didn't like. Well, I can maybe say the same. When I'm speaking of people meet me, and which means I meet people, my disposition usually is conducive to the other person being nice. And so it is true, perhaps, that I've never met a person that I didn't like initially. But when you ask me the question if I like people in general, people I don't know, the neighbors, people, no, there are a lot of people that I would rather not deal with. I'd rather not deal with anybody, to tell you the truth. I'm a loner, but I have to. But so, what do you call a person who doesn't like people? You know? Yeah. What do you call, because a misogynist is a man who doesn't like women. What do you call a person who doesn't like people? There's a word for that. And I can't, misanthropist. Misanthropo. A misanthropist. Misanthropy is the general hatred, dislike, distrust, or contempt of the human species or human nature. Bueno, tal como lo ponen ahí, pues no, yo no soy así. It's a bit strong. Misantropía. All right. Es una actitud social y psicológica caracterizada por la aversión general al género humano. Okay. No, I'm not a misanthropist. At all. No. I'm a humanist. I have a lot of... I like civilization. I like what people have achieved. I'm a humanist in the sense of, especially Western civilization. I have a lot of... but when you say people, everybody, I've met a lot of people. I've seen a lot of people and met a lot of people that I would rather not deal with. Yeah, people can be strange at times. People are strange. People are strange. There's a song with Jim Morrison. People are strange. People are strange. By the Doors. Yes. But I can't remember how the song goes. People are strange. La gente es extraña. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. People are strange when you're a stranger. La gente es extraño cuando eres tú un extraño. Un forastero. Faces look ugly when you're alone. That's an interesting sentence. Cuando te sientes solo, las caras son todas feas. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. That's an interesting sentence. Las mujeres parecen malévolas cuando te sientes no querido por nadie, por ninguna mujer, por ejemplo. Streets are uneven when you're down. Okay, people are strange. I like the Doors. They were an interesting group. And what's the thing about the Doors is their greatest hits, maybe five or six, grow on you. Their most successful song was Come On Baby Light. It's called Light My Fire. And because it was played so much in the 1960s and 70s, most people got tired of it. But there are other songs. People Are Strange, Break On Through. These are very interesting songs by the Doors. Yes, Jim Morrison, he died when he was 27. I think it was, as usual, a drug overdose or a mixture of drugs and alcohol. Something, living life too wildly can often lead to early death. But that's a subject maybe for another day. Who knows? Because I have to go. Hey, it's been great. Enjoy your evening, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan, desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los tres planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Okay, now, tell me you want to do 10 more push-ups.
I want to do 10 more push-ups.
Very good. Ask me if I'll tell you to do 10 more.
Will you tell me to do 10 more?
No, I'm going to tell you to do 20 more. Ask me if I care.
Did you care?
No, 20 more!